Welcome to Two Chicks, Three Seats, the podcast that takes a look at the hospitality industry's hottest topics.
Two Chicks, Three Seats is hosted by Kate Kennedy and Rachel Calkins and is brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader in event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats. Happy, happy holiday season. We hope that you're so busy right now and not too stressed, but super busy with a full event calendar of holiday events at your restaurant, your event venue, your hotel, wherever you work. We hope business is booming right now, but this is also your reminder right now to just breathe. And it's all going to be okay. I know. Take a deep breath. Yeah, it's all, we're going to make it through. And hopefully, you know, maybe make yourself a drink because we're going to talk drinks today. But it's going to be okay. This is the reminder to start off today.
It's going to be okay. I promise. Somehow it's all going to be okay.
Nervous laugh.
Oh my God. I'm sick today too, everyone. Just a heads up. So that's why I'm laughing hysterically because welcome to the holiday season.
We laugh through our tears here. It's okay. Yeah, it's a safe space.
Very safe.
But anyways, so this week we're going to talk about some holiday related topics for the hospitality and events industry for this wonderful holiday episode. So we're going to talk about some holiday cocktails per usual. We'll talk about some holiday experiences done right that some of these ideas can still be taken throughout the winter, which are super fun and hopefully can give you some inspo. We're going to talk about some awesome holiday gifting ideas for all those hospitality industry lovers in your life. And then finally, some other final touches that you can add into your corporate holiday parties, which will be the last thing at the end. So lots of great holiday things, and you can kick it off for us, Kate.
All right. I'll kick it off with cocktails, obviously. Side story. I was supposed to be going into the office, the HQ office tomorrow to film Cocktails with Kate and James, the holiday edition. And so I have a very large batched drink of this winter spice sangria ready for tomorrow. And now I can't go because I'm sick. So now I just have a huge batch of winter spice sangria sitting on my front porch. So we'll see. I mean, maybe I'll make some like NyQuil with some sangria. And
oh my God.
That's fine.
Won't go to waste.
I mean, my grandmother always said that bourbon was good for when you didn't feel like when you were sick. So I don't know. My grandmother says, let's see, maybe. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But anyways, so the first drink that we're going to talk about is one that you can do for your events this holiday season or just your restaurant in general. You can also make this for a party at home. And I made this at Christmas last year. It was so good. So it's winter spice sangria. I'll go over the ingredients first. I feel like that's the best way to do it. So you're going to need 2 bottles of Cabernet. You're going to need 2 cups of bourbon. I wouldn't go high end because you're mixing it. I'd go somewhere in the middle. 2/3 cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice. You're going to do 8 cups of apple cider. Fresh is better. Like you always, around the holidays, there's always those like local farm fresh apple cider. I mean, there is here in New England. I'm sure it's in New York too, right? And I'm sure there are farms in other parts of the country where you can get it or they just ship it. So I would go fresh for this. Trader Joe's has a really good spiced apple cider that is, if you can't get your hands on a fresh one, that would be a good alternative. I just wouldn't do like apple juice. Like that's not going to, it's not going to taste. It's not going to give the good vibes. No Christmas vibes there. And then you're going to do the equivalent of 2 cups of cinnamon simple syrup. And we'll go over how to make that. Two oranges sliced and then fresh cranberries, as many as you'd like. So to start, you're going to whip up a batch of the cinnamon simple syrup, and it's really easy. Simple syrup is just equal parts sugar water over medium heat until it dissolves. But you're going to add to this, for every 1/2 cup of water and 1/2 cup of sugar you add, you're going to add 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. And if you like the taste of cinnamon, you can do more. I always stick with the teaspoon. I think it works well. But if you really love cinnamon, then you can up it however you'd like. And then another thing to note here is that you're going to want to make this like I did, a night or even 2 nights in advance. You can keep it anywhere and cool. So I have an indoor front porch and that's where I kept mine because it's cold out here. So, you know, just keep it anywhere that's like, doesn't have to be quite refrigerator level cold, but it can be, and it can be even colder as long as it won't get ice chips in it because you don't want it to be like watery. It won't freeze, obviously, but it could have ice chips in it. And then this recipe specifically makes 20 servings, but if you're doing it for a party, you could just make 10 in a pitcher. If you're making this for your restaurant or an event, you want to use like a large Cambro container and make it in that and then pop it in the walk-in when you're done. And it will stay good for like a week. I'd say up to a week. I wouldn't go any further than that. So that means I'm gonna have a lot of sangria to drink in the next week.
I wish I could share it with you.
I'm just gonna be dropping it off people's houses and acted like I made them a Christmas gift, like in bought. Maybe I'll do that. Get like mason
That's
jars.
That's cute.
Merry Christmas. I made you sangria. Didn't really, but I actually made it for the people I work with. Anyways, so in a large food container, like I said, or in a pitcher, you're going to pour in the red wine, the bourbon, the lemon juice, the apple cider, and then you're going to stir in the cinnamon simple syrup until it's like mixed well. Then you're going to add in the slices of oranges and the fresh cranberries, and then cover that and let it sit for a night or two. And then before you make the individual drinks, you're going to want to stir it first. Or before you add it to like your drink dispenser, because some restaurants will have it in a drink dispenser and then they make the one-off drinks. So just stir it every once in a while if it's going to be sitting there for a while. So you're going to add ice to a wine glass or to any, you can use any glass for this. And I would do like half a glass of ice. And then you're going to, if you want, so some people like to top sangria off with soda water or Sprite. I'm not a big fan of this, so I don't do it myself, but you can. Sprite works really well with this recipe. So you're going to pour it in like halfway, like fill it like the ice halfway. And then you're going to fill it like to just where you want to now add the Sprite on top, and then top it with Sprite and then garnish it with like a sprig of fresh rosemary, you know, orange cranberries, whatever you want. It's really easy to make. Anyone can make it and it's delicious. And it is, I think it tastes better the longer you let it sit, but there is a point where it starts to not taste good anymore. We used to make this at a bar. I made this like at Christmas, actually the entire winter at a bar that I worked at in Charlestown, and it was a huge hit and we sold a ton of it. But there was like, there is that moment where you open it and you're like, no, this isn't good anymore. I need to make a fresh batch. So you'll know, believe me. So then the next one I want to talk about is not, I don't really feel like batching this one isn't going to work well. So this is like a one-off cocktail that you could make like at a Christmas party that you're hosting or at your restaurant. You can add it to your menu. It's a grapefruit cardamom gin fizz. And for those that aren't familiar, so like cardamom, I feel like is like a more sweet version of cumin. That's how I feel like it tastes. It's like kind of like eucalyptus-y, but also like grainy. Like it's got that like cumin-y taste, but it's sweeter. It's really good. And it's very easy to find around the holiday season. I think that when it's not winter, sometimes you can't find cardamom like seeds. So it might be harder to make this, but in winter they're usually around because they go in a lot of like winter spiced recipes. So it does take a bit of work on the back end, but like then it's easy to make once you have all the ingredients ready. So first you want to infuse your gin with the cardamom, and you're going to choose a gin that's not top. Like you don't want to do Hendrix because that has like that cucumbery taste to it, but you also don't want to do, and you don't need to do something like super expensive because you're infusing it, but you also don't want to do like well gin because that's gross. So I would do like a London dry gin. So like a Bombay dry would be perfect for this. And you combine the gin and the whole cardamom pods in a jar and let them sit for like 24 hours, basically until you smell the gin and it smells like cardamom. It doesn't smell like gin anymore. And then you just strain out the pods and then it's ready to use. So I usually go like one cup of gin to six cardamom pods. They look like seeds, but they call them pods. And that's like the ratio I think works well. And then for the rosemary simple syrup, it's the same way that you made the cinnamon simple syrup. Just this time as it's simmering, add like two sprigs of rosemary. And then you strain them out. When you strain the simple syrup, you strain out the rosemary sprigs. And then it's just rosemary simple syrup. Some people get afraid that they're going to burn the rosemary while it's simmering and it's going to have a weird taste. So you can also add sprigs of rosemary to just regular simple syrup in the dispenser and let that sit, and it will do the same thing. It's just then you might get like little pieces of rosemary in it. But if you don't mind that, then that's fine too. Okay. So now making the cocktail, I think Pim's glasses work best for this. And those are just long, skinny cocktail glasses. But you can use any cocktail glass. It doesn't really matter. It's just, this is on the rocks. So you don't want a coupe glass or a martini glass or something like that. So you're going to add ice to a cocktail shaker, and you're going to combine 2 ounces of the rosemary simple syrup, 3 ounces of the cardamom infused gin, a half a cup of fresh grapefruit juice. I would definitely go fresh, and you can buy like freshly squeezed grapefruit juice, or you can squeeze it in your restaurant if you have a juicer. And then you're going to shake that. and strain it into your cocktail glass that has new ice in it. So you don't want to use the ice from the shaker. You want new ice in the cocktail glass. And then you're going to leave a little bit of room because you're going to use a splash of Prosecco on the top of it. It adds a little fizz. So good. And then you're going to garnish with like a rosemary sprig and grapefruit slice. And that's that. Wow. They're both really good. They're very different, but they're both delicious. They're so good.
That sounds amazing. And so I told you this the other day, how I like had a gin fizz for the first time when I was in London, and like watching the process behind making it and just all the detail. That's what I'm getting from this one too. So obviously a little bit more complicated than the sangria, but I know our listeners, we have the experienced bartenders listening too. So I'm sure it's easy for some to tackle.
It's easy. And this is definitely easier than like a classic gin fizz. Like I've tried to master the classic gin fizz, and I'm going to admit right now that I have not yet been able to master it. And like other people have tried them and been like, this is really good. Like you did a good job. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not good. It's not good enough.
You're lying.
Gin fizzes are like, to make them right is very difficult. And you're right. But like when you have one, I feel like when you have a gin fizz that's like actually made right and tastes the right way, it changes your life. They're so good. So good. But anyways, this is like a cute little holiday spin on a gin fizz. That's way easier to make. So easy that literally anyone in your family could make it. So
I'm kind of determined now. I feel like when my sisters and I are home for the holidays, I'm going to put this on our to-do list and see if we can work around with it a little bit.
Regular gin fizzes are...
No. The one here. This one here. The grapefruit.
You can do this one. Yeah. This is easy. And it will give you the same like... It's like a, you know, the color is different. Obviously it's not white, but, and then it gives you the little fizz on top from the Prosecco. So it's pretty, but it's definitely not the same as like that whole like bubbling over the top of like the real gin fizzes. Oh God, I love those so much.
Well, per our last episode 75, if you guys listened to it with the cocktail graffiti ladies, I made a little cocktail at home with the kit that they sent us, and I did a good job. So really good. I like, you know, I can do anything now.
You can conquer the world.
Yeah. I'm ready for the next challenge. Shaker.
It's nothing to be afraid of. They're very,
I think my only fear is just like looking stupid because I'm not as experienced as obviously you and anyone else, but it takes a little practice.
It does. And it reminds me of like when I first started bartending, and like I will never forget the feeling of my first real bar shift, like behind a bar with cocktail shakers. And like, cause I bartended at an 18 and under venue where like literally just doled out waters and Red Bulls doesn't count. Obviously, anyone can use a, you know, can use a gun behind the bar. But soda gun, everybody. Yeah. But like when my first real bar, like busy weekend night bartending shift at a club too, like not even a place that made like fancy cocktails, just like a nightclub. I was so scared, That is like the most scared I've ever been in my life, which is so funny to think about because it's like kind of ridiculous. And I remember like being like, oh my God, am I doing it right? Am I serving enough people? Like, was that drink okay? I don't know what's in that. Like, is she going to know? I don't know what I'm doing.
And now here you are, our cocktail enthusiast advocate here at Tremble Scene.
Thanks for giving me a chance, first bar I worked at.
Who knew she'd be the spokesperson for cocktails with Kate and James?
That's really funny.
Anyways, well, yeah, let us know if you make the cocktails, and we'd love to, yes, tag us in photos and such, or send it to us on Instagram at the Tremble Scene Instagram. We'd love to see everyone getting involved. Okay, well, now that we're drunk with our holiday cocktails, just kidding, we didn't make them on camera.
I mean, now, I can start drinking right now. I have enough.
Yeah, Kate does have the sangria ready on her front porch.
Literally. So. If I could carry it up to show the screen, I would. But it's so heavy that my thought was, in the morning, I'm going to have my husband put it in the car. And then when I get to the office, I'm going to ask James to carry it in the building. Like, it's so heavy.
All those Wine Wednesday goers tomorrow that are not going to get to have it.
So much Cabernet.
Okay, next topic.
Moving on. Sorry.
So the next thing that we want to talk about is holiday experiences, and holiday experiences specifically that I've seen and that are done just essentially right. So we talk about all the time, like restaurants taking advantage of experiences in their events or their dining in general. And those that do are going to see the results for what they're putting out there. These are the restaurants that get talked about. That's what's posted on social media. That's what everyone's like reviewing highly. So with the holiday season and specifically just like throughout the winter, this is your time to shine with this holiday experience-esque sort of mindset. So I want to talk about some restaurants and venues that are killing it in the holiday experience game in a couple different ways. And while some of these are catered towards Christmas, like themselves in terms of their decor and what they're offering, so many of these themes and approaches and like how they do things can be incorporated all throughout the whole winter season. So just because Christmas is like a week and a half, 2 weeks away from now, 10 days, 12 days, 12 days from now from recording on the 13th, that doesn't like these ideas can still be incorporated well past this time, like all throughout the winter season. So the first one is Oscar Wilde in New York City. And Oscar Wilde is located at West 27th and 6th Ave in Manhattan. And they just simply own the holiday experience. So I'm trying to go on Thursday this week myself. So I haven't been yet like for this. I've been there in general, but I haven't been for this holiday experience that they do. But from the photos that I see, and I don't actually put a thing, I tagged them in the notes, Kate, but I'm going to tell everyone the Instagram handle. The photos that I've seen, they basically transform their entire bar into a Christmas winter wonderland. It's a bar and it's a restaurant. It's a pretty, I think I read something that it's like the longest bar in New York City. So it's very like goes far deep into the restaurant.
Now, is it Christmas all the time?
No. Or,
okay. So because I see pictures of them on Instagram, I'm always like, are they just Christmas all year round? Or
they're not. They do
that every year. That's incredible. Yes,
they do themes. Their thing is themes. So like there, when I went, it's like, it's, I have to show you photos from when I went. It's just like a very like, it kind of gave me like Bridgerton a little bit in some ways of it, but then they go all out for Halloween season. So I know, I think that they're really great with their theme decor. But when I say they like deck out the restaurant from the photos that I'm seeing, it's literally every inch is filled with Christmas lights, polar bears, candy canes, Santa Clauses, nutcrackers. Like there's something literally everywhere.
You can't move. It's like incredible.
Yeah.
It's so cool though.
It's so crazy. Cool. And like, but the decor is super tasteful. It's not like that cheesy, like, it's really mall great Santa Claus vibe that, you know, sometimes can unfortunately happen. It's classy. It's tasteful. And like, yes, once you see the photos, you'll see they do go all out. It's probably expensive and it probably takes so long to set up. But what they do at Oscar Wilde, it's, you could do something like that at any restaurant for themes in general. Like it's not because of them having a certain feature in like the building that, you know, maybe another restaurant can't emulate or do on their own. But this is like just going with the times of the theme and like totally making that present in your restaurant and like going for that whole experience. And anyone can do that. Like that's not, it's not like a crazy concept. Their Instagram handle is Oscar Wilde. Oscar, O-C-A-R, Wild, W-I-L-D-E, and then N-Y-C. And so check out like their photos, their Instagram reels. They post some really cool videos. And this is just like also another reminder about the power of decor in general. Like as a New York City resident, I'm looking for for holiday restaurants, holiday bars. And like when I see anything that has holidays incorporated into it, like it didn't have to be like, oh, they do this all the time, like they go all out for everything, but if I see they have some special for like the month of December or like something special for the whole winter, then I'm gonna go for those restaurants over just like the plain Jane offerings that they only do their like, you know, menu that they have all year round during the holiday season. So if you like invest in those kind of decorations and you have them on hand, you can just go back to it every year because people are like seeking these holiday experiences and like
immersive holiday experiences, basically. Yeah, I agree. I feel like everyone has seen pictures of Oscar Wilde. They just don't know it. They may not know that they did because it's like everywhere. I feel like everyone's posting. It's incredible. And I'm always like, I've never been there either.
They're a Triple C customer. So they're a customer of ours. And I'm not sure like totally what their events are like, but I'm curious about how they like incorporate holiday events, like with all this decor that they have, like if they do buyouts and it's like, just like insane for having events there and such.
It has to be. That's what we should, you know, we should have done our event there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wicked expensive.
Then the next like holiday-esque experience, which this one is not Christmas specific at all. So this could be throughout the winter how they offer it. Like, so This is Mary Bell's, and it's a chocolate shop on Broome Street in Soho. And so the space is small. It's a chocolate shop. It's not a grand restaurant, but their holiday experience, or more say winter experience offerings, are what have like caught the attention of New Yorkers because of how cute and festive it is for the winter. So I actually saw this first from my main source of news, aka TikTok.com, and specifically from a customer of theirs that had posted a video about her experience. Again, power of TikTok and social media for the restaurant industry and hospitality industry. And so she had gone to Mary Bell, specifically to the cacao bar. So to backtrack a little bit, Mary Bell offers gourmet chocolates, gourmet pastries, other like little sweets and treats. And then in the cacao bar, they offer an afternoon tea experience, which I know they have unlimited tea, like high tea sort of vibe. They have coffee, but then they have this hot chocolate experience, which is what stood out to me the most. So what I saw from this girl's experience on TikTok, you can choose between like milk, dark or white gourmet hot chocolate. And then you get like mini individual servings of whipped cream. And then the menus are just super elegant. Like it was the whole thing. And then the overall vibe of the chocolate shop is super cozy, cute. Like they have their decorations as well, but I don't know. It doesn't have to be like over the top. It's just like essentially a hot chocolate experience that this chocolate shop has, which they taking advantage of their own ingredients that they have in house. And it can be enjoyed essentially all winter long. So it's cute. And yeah, I love hot chocolate too. I really love hot chocolate.
Really, do you? My kids don't like it. Is that weird?
Yeah, and that's weird.
It like depresses me. Like Maisie eats chocolate nonstop, but she doesn't like hot chocolate. Maybe when she gets a little older and it's like, I think cause it's hot. It's and she's bringing that whole, you know, vibe for her, but Colby just doesn't like chocolate. So I don't know.
I think it's like what puts me into the holiday season. And so I might try when I'm hosting this weekend. My parents are going to be here. So we're doing all sorts of Christmassy things.
Oh, that's awesome.
And a lot of these are like just walk-in places. Like they don't take reservations for this time of the year. So it's on the to-do list to stop by. So I'll report back.
Oh, that'll be so fun. I feel like last year during our holiday episode, you talked about like the Christmas.
The
like,
Snowport.
Snowport in the Seaport in Boston. Yeah, that's right. And they had like boozy hot chocolate.
Did talk about that. So this is actually, that leads into my last thing for the holiday experiences, to be honest, is like winter pop-up activation. So last year in the Seaport in Boston, they have a whole market called the Snowport. And there's so many iterations of that here in Boston, in New York City as well. So there's like the Bryant Park Winter Village. There's like Union Square. Like everyone has like their own version of kind of a holiday market. And I love that. And they're so fun. But then, you know, no matter what city you're in, I feel like you'll see one. And I love seeing just the different hospitality and like hospitality vendors and also restaurants that are represented in these sort of markets. So obviously these markets have been up and running. So if you're in them, you're already in it. If you didn't like sell your products into it, then at this point you probably won't be this year. But when I went to like the Bryant Park Winter Village in New York City the other weekend, I saw so many products like hot sauces from a specific Mexican restaurant, truffle oils from another vendor. I even saw this vendor that I had seen at the Event Planner Expo, Andy's Eats. She does like the little mini mason jars of cake.
Oh yeah.
And so she was selling them there at the market. So there's just so many ways for the hospitality industry in these different spaces, like selling your own products. So if you have been in like a market like this around the holidays, that's so awesome. But if you didn't, then maybe you could be next year, or you could still be selling your products in your restaurant, like selling your spaghetti sauces or selling other things from your recipe, like your spice
like
cabinets.
Like Carbo's now, you can buy their spaghetti sauce at Whole Foods.
Yeah. Yep. You can buy how much it costs, but
oh my God, it's so good. It's like, and I don't like, I make my own, you know me, I make my own, like I'm Italian. I make all of my own sauces, but like I bought it on a whim and I was like, I'm just going to mix this with like ground chicken and like make like a quick bolognese. And it was like, I got the arrabbiata sauce. So like the spicy, you know, my God, it was so good. It was only like, it's like comparable to like what you pay for like a bottle of Rouse. So it was like $8 or $9 at Whole Foods. I feel like that's not that bad for that. I would rather that than Rouse, to be honest with you. It was so good.
I've never had Rouse before, but it's the one that I always stare at and I'm like, I shouldn't I shouldn't, but I don't.
Cheaper copycats now of Rouse that like you can probably get. I mean, Rouse is delicious, but this was like next level. It was like I felt like I was eating like homemade sauce, and I don't have to feel that way with Rouse. I don't think it tastes like that good, you know, but this was, wow.
Well, that's good to know. Next time I'm at Whole Foods and I'm debating buying Rao's, I'll go for the Carbone.
Do it. Totally worth it.
Good to know.
Well, that was lovely. Now I want to go to a winter village. I wish there was one in Portsmouth, but they don't do that here. I'm going to Portland, Maine this Friday, if I'm feeling better, if my entire family is feeling better, for Polar Express with my children for a very expensive train ride where they give you hot cocoa.
But Maisie hates.
Oh my God, she's probably going to hate it. Yeah, she's going to hate every minute of it. And it was like $80 a ticket. And I was so excited to walk around Portland because they have all these cute little pop-ups, right? But it's going to be a nor'easter of rain. So like 3 inches of rain. I'm like, this is going to be horrible. Like I actually might not go. So
happy holidays.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just me. Like, because my husband's working. So I'm like, this is, and we're not that close to Portland. We're like 40 minutes away. And it's like, dark highways because it's Maine and I'm like torrential downpours and then we have to walk. I'm like, no, that's not Christmas vibing for me. That's just like me in hell. I just don't think I can do it. Anyways, I digress. Sorry. There are no Christmas markets around me, unfortunately. But okay, so let's talk holiday gifting. We, you know, there's still time left to get your last minute holiday gifts. I absolutely still have shopping to do. Not for someone hospitality centered, although I am. So if anyone wants to buy me a last minute gift, like Rachel did last year, and we talked about the kale peeler on our holiday episode in 2021, and then Rachel bought me one, and it's still like one of my favorite things. So love that.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel and her gift giving. but these gifts could also, you know, be good like New Year's gifts to a party host as well. Something to think about. So the first one is Magnum gifting, and not the Magnum that your dirty brain might be going to, but instead Magnum bottles of wine, which you may think like that's super expensive. I can't afford a Magnum bottle of wine, but you can. These are very inexpensive. So we'll link in the show notes this article that we're using. It's from Punch, punchdrink.com, and they had the 10 best affordable Magnum wine bottles. And I think that's pretty crazy. Like they're all less than $75, which to be honest with you, I've never even looked at them at stores because I'm always like, nah, I can't afford that.
Right.
Doesn't want to have like show up with a bottle of a Magnum of bubbly at a New Year's Eve event, especially if it's like good. Cause you don't want to show up with a crappy bottle of Magnum bubbly. That's not cool. But, so the first one that I'm just going to call it a few of those, but the first one's a cava. Well, it tastes like a cava according to the description. And I love cavas. They're so good. And I'm going to butcher every name that I'm going to talk about right now, but this one is Reventos. Do you think that's correct? Reventos?
It sounds right.
R-A-V-E-N-T-O-S. I am not going to try to pronounce the entire name of the wine because that will be horrible, but it's a rosé, a sparkling rosé. But it tastes like a cava according to this description. And it's from a Catalonia winery. So they're known for like bubblies. And this specific winery is like a pioneer of organic farming in that region. So definitely cool that's a thing too. And it's dry, you know, savory rosé. That's how they described it. It sounds amazing. I might try to find one of these. It's only $55 for a Magnum, which wow. I usually spend more than that on like a small bottle of champagne for New Year's Eve, which I'll still get because it's like my favorite, but I might look for this because it sounds delicious and I'm into cavas, so I'm all for it. And sparkling rosés. The next one that I'll talk about is, I'll do like one more. Cause again, I am not going to be able to, like, there's so many wines on here that sound so delicious, but I cannot pronounce any of them. So I like feel bad that I'm just going to like butcher the whole thing, but, a Nebbiolo, which I know I just said correctly. and I've actually had this type. It's, Giuseppe Vavras. So V-A-J-R-A is the name, and it's their 2020 vintage Nebbiolo, and it's $59 for a Magnum. And I've had this red before in a standard, you know, size bottle, and it's delicious. I've also had it at restaurants. I just had it at a restaurant in Portsmouth, actually. I recognize the name because I bought it like at like a big box wine store. And I was like, this isn't going to be great. And then it was delicious. And so, I didn't realize they had Magnum. So I'm going to try to find myself one. But again, $59, for the 2020 vintage. And it's a very classic, like Nebbiolo taste. So yeah, I think, you know, there's a bunch on this list that would be awesome. And I feel like it's so cool to show up at a party or at, with a gift that's like a magnum of wine. I would love that. So
can you remind me how many bottles of standard wine fit into a magnum bottle of wine? Normal. So like, is it like
standard bottle is 750 milliliters. So I don't know. Let's, you know what? Let's Google it. Let's do it. Why not? Right. I should know this, but I don't. 1.5 liter wine bottle, double the size of a standard bottle.
Okay. And cool.
So it's two bottles of wine in one. It's the next largest bottle size after the standard 750 ml bottle. I actually didn't know it was double. I thought it was less than double, to be honest with you, because it doesn't, when you look at them, it kind of doesn't look like it's double, but I don't, yeah. Sure. Right. I mean, I just know like the mag, like when you go out to like, I've been to like bachelorette parties where we get like a magnum of champagne and everyone's just like trying to pour it. And like,
right.
But we think we're really cool. So, but yeah, I love this. Not a lot of wine stores sell magnums. That's the thing. They are hard to find. I'm sure in New York City, they're very easy to find. And in Boston, they're pretty easy to find, but like you can get them at like the big stores, like one in Massachusetts that might be national is Total Wine and More. They have like a large array of magnums, but it has to be, I feel like it, like you're not going to find it at like Trader Joe's.
Right.
Like, I feel like it has to be like those bigger stores that sell like a shit ton of stuff. So something to keep in mind, but for that price, I mean, those are great prices for good wine. So the next thing that I'm going to talk about is sending a gift through Gold Belly. We actually used Gold Belly for our holiday party in 2020 for Triple Seat. And we had Russ and Daughters like smoked salmon and bagels. And
that was
and
so good.
It was so good. So this is, if you don't know what Gold Belly is, it's, you can basically, restaurants across the country will send anywhere in the country and maybe internationally. I don't know. Do you know if they send internationally? I'm not sure.
Not positive.
But they will send food, like food that's able to be frozen and then, you know, reheated or like defrosted or whatever from popular restaurants across the country. So they have one that's the classic Cowgirl Creamery cheese collection for $90. Who doesn't love cheese? So like, I feel like that's great for anybody. There's the Franklin barbecue brisket, which is from Austin. And for $270, they'll send you a brisket packet and like world renowned brisket. So if you've been to Austin, you've probably eaten at Franklin barbecue, I would imagine. Russ and Daughters is a New York style bagel experience. And for $195, you can send like a smoked salmon medley. But not everyone gets to experience New York bagels. And I think they are superior to other bagels. So I would, you know, highly recommend that. And there are packages that are cheaper than this as well. Buddy's Detroit style pizza for $105, and it can be stocked up in someone's freezer. So you can have Buddy's pizza, Detroit style pizza all the time. Have you ever had Buddy's pizza?
No, have you?
I had it, and I think it was Buddy's. It was at the Detroit airport, but like it was like a layover, and I was with somebody who had lived in Detroit, and they were like, "Oh my god, we have to get this pizza." And I feel like it's like when you're in Boston, people are like, "You have to get Pizzeria Regina or Santapio's." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Whatever." So I got it, and it was so good. It was so good. I feel like it's similar to like it's like a deep dish feeling, but it's like. Like the squares. That's how it was, at least when I had it. I don't know if it was Buddy's, but it sounds so familiar. So maybe it was. Anyways, it was delicious. Yum. I'm sure that all Detroit style pizza is very good. And you can also do Angelina's Maryland giant lump crab cakes for $115. So if you have somebody, like you have someone in your life that moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, might be a good gift. There was also on there was like Maine lobster rolls, which I don't know how that travels, but I'm assuming
I was iffy on that one too.
Right? Like, how do you defrost lobster? Or it must just come like in a freezer pack. So it's like, it's not frozen, but it's like cold enough that it keeps it good.
Right.
Because they do send, you know, obviously I live very close to the Maine coast and you can send like live Maine lobsters like across the country, which is wild to me. But we did it for friends that live in California. And it's not that expensive. So this is like similarly priced was what that cost too. And I feel like getting like a lobster roll is even better than getting a lobster because you're like.
If I got a lobster, I'd be like, so now I have to cook it.
I have to cook this and then rip it open. But this person we sent it to was like a lobster lover. Like
okay.
Was obsessed with lobster and like loved making live lobsters. So I knew it would be like a win. But I agree with you though. I'd be like, I don't have a pot big enough to like cook this in. So, and then also we'll link, there's Eater article, like with the best gifts for beginner cooks in your life, which I think is also great for non-beginner cooks, if you ask me. And there's things on here like non-stick skillet and like Dutch ovens. You have like a really cool oven mitt, which I actually might order for myself. It's like really, really cool looking. This is not about me though. Whisks. So there's like all these cool, you know, restaurant grade items that you can buy for people that are, that love to cook. The right chef's knife. Don't ever buy, we talked about this. Don't ever buy a chef a knife. Okay. Don't do it, but you can buy somebody who's not actually a chef a knife. Like I would love to be gifted a knife because I need new ones, but I would never
go. For a chef.
Never for a chef. There's a very specific type of knife.
I never understood the whole chef knife thing until we did that episode and you explained it to me.
It's like they're like literal baby. It's like, you know, it's very like personal.
Yeah.
Which is so silly, but it's not silly because that's their job. I mean, it's not silly to all the chefs out there. Not silly, but.
Thanks for clarifying, Kate.
Yeah. Thanks. I was like, oh, now I feel bad. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat is a book that's on this list, which I love. I have that book and I absolutely love it. So definitely check that out for the chefs in your life.
I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah, it's a really good book. I feel like that restaurant was a customer, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. But anyways, those are my ideas for y'all, for your restaurant hospitality people and anyone really. I mean, who doesn't want a magnum of wine? I guess someone who doesn't drink, but
no, just know your audience, I guess.
Know your audience. Don't send Rachel live lobsters, okay?
Yeah, she won't know what to do with them. She'll put them back in the ocean. I'll put them back in the ocean.
She'll throw them back in the ocean, the wrong ocean.
No, that would be crazy.
You live in the same ocean, so it would be the right ocean, just the wrong area, wrong region.
He'd be so far from his family.
So far from his little lobster family. Oh, man. I love lobster. Anyways.
Okay, anyways. So to end, mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about some corporate holiday party final details. So this is still relevant because so many companies, I think it's even been since past COVID more so, are having holiday parties after the Christmas season instead of before. Yep. Triple Seat, we're doing this. It's the week of like January 11th, 13th, whatever that week is. And it's so nice because, you know, you've done your holidays with your family and like your close friends, and you know, it's like one less thing to worry about during the already stressful, busy holiday season. So I think this is nice because then you can enjoy it a little bit more, whereas maybe you were a little bit more stressed out beforehand. So I think a lot of companies are doing this approach with their corporate holiday parties, like we are. So if you're a planner listening and you're planning a corporate holiday party for your company right now, like Arno, I know our corporate events manager is working on our final touches, or you're helping plan a party for your own client. Some of these ideas could just be some last minute ways to elevate your event that don't require much of a heavy lift and can kind of be done as a last minute basis. So the first one is disposable cameras or Polaroid cameras. Last year at our company holiday party, it was a like gala theme at the Boston Public Library. And we had different Polaroid cameras set up on each of the different tables, which I thought was so fun. It was fun. Kind of a last minute detail, I'm pretty sure as well. And people just had so much fun, like snapping photos and you get them in real time. And everyone, like the Polaroid camera is just such a hit right now. And yeah, I love it. I told Maz that we need them at our party again this year.
I love them. Actually, one of the best photos my husband and I ever took was on one of those Polaroid cameras. And I have it like framed in my house.
Did I take it?
I think you did. Yeah.
It would make sense. That would line up.
It would make sense.
So add Polaroid cameras, literally just purchase them. You can do the disposable ones too, but I personally prefer the Polaroid. So that's a small detail that can go a long way. Another idea could be some sort of like team mural activity or exercise. So there's a couple different ideas that I have in mind that are like kind of combining different experiences that I've seen or done before. So you could go like the art approach with like a paint by number sort of experience for like a full art experience. And we've talked before about companies like Paintilio that have done this. And I'm not entirely sure about the turnaround time for that, but some sort of like mural on the wall at your event. And then employees can participate by doing a paint by numbers activity. And then like the final reveal is something fun and important to the company and like the culture.
That's cool.
That's like a fun thing. And then I've also seen on the different holiday markets that I've been attending, they've done this whole, like, they have a big blank chalkboard wall. And then in the middle, it says like, my Christmas wish is da da da. And then everyone puts down like their own personal Christmas wish for the community. Normally it's like something heartfelt and like not just presents, but right. It's like something sentimental and sweet.
A raise, a promotion.
Yeah. So like, it's a little bit more sentimental. And if you're doing with a company,
sorry,
if you're doing with a company, then it could be something sweet that everyone, like, you're seeing everyone's holiday wishes. And like, since if your party is after the new year, then another way that this could work and another take on it, depending on when your party is something around like goal setting or like goals for 2023. You don't have to like get too deep, but, or like a dream for 2023. When we had our company meeting last year in March, we did an exercise that was kind of along the lines of this, talking about our quote bucket list items. And we had Ben Nemton speak to us about like bucket list items and like planning the bucket list for your life. And so we did a really impactful exercise and everyone wrote their bucket list item on a sticky note. And then they were pasted onto this board. And yeah, it was super cool to like see everyone's thoughts and dreams out in the open. And like, you can keep it anonymous, but it's just fun to see like where everyone, even if you don't necessarily know who it is, where their thoughts are coming from. But yeah, I mean, depending on like which approach you take, this exercise only really requires like a wall to do it on. And then some sort of, you know, either chalk or sticky notes and paint, like something like that. I feel like it, I don't know. I like the approach where you can like take it back with you. Yeah, so maybe it's
in your office.
Yeah. Hanging up in your office or like somewhere. So it's, you can save it. So even if you like did the paint by numbers, doing it on paper that you could like take with you sort of thing.
Yeah. That's cute. Yeah. I really like that idea.
And it's like an activity also. And those, we're always looking for activities.
And it's not like corny, because I, you know me and team building exercises, sometimes I feel like they can be super corny and like, right, people are like, I don't want to do this. But I think this is something that like everyone could enjoy.
It's, yeah, fun. And people can like participate at their own pace too. It's not like a forced fun activity all at once. Like, you can just do it throughout the night. And then at the end, you'll see what the result looks like.
Yeah.
So that's a fun little element. Another thing when it comes to like choosing your menus and thinking about what you're serving, some other like final food experiences that people only really want to do in the wintertime. I had some ideas there. So like chocolate fountains, those are super fun for holiday corporate events. Cheese fondue or fondue in general. I'm like, love fondue in the winter months. It's just like, I feel like that's the time of year that you do it. So something fun, elevating your appetizers in that way, opposed to something else that, you know, past apps could be fun doing the fondue route. Smoky cocktails, like holiday cocktails in general, but like smoky cocktails too. And maybe even having some sort of like cocktail bar where you can make them as you go through the like putting on your own garnishes kind of thing after the bartender prepares the drink itself.
Cocktails, that would be,
yeah.
Really, yeah.
And then even like a hot chocolate bar, similar to what we talked about earlier, just having different options for hot chocolate and toppings, that sort of thing. Those are just other food and drink experiences that can be done at a holiday party and, you know, that are more favorable in the winter months. Mm-hmm. And then some other final little random add-ons, a 360 photo booth. We did this at our party last year. Those are super fun to rent. That was a huge hit. You could do like a DIY photo booth on your own with like your own accessories. When we were in Iceland as a company, they had like a really cool little photo corner at one of the restaurants we went to with like Viking gear. And that was super fun. So fun little photo booth, a tarot card reader.
Yeah. Love that. We might be doing that this year.
I'm hearing, right? That's happening at our event. So
I'm hearing whispers of that happening, which would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I, someone to like tell you your future and see if your Christmas wishes are coming through, coming true.
You're going to lose your job. Imagine. Sorry.
Tech layoffs.
Right? I'd be like, what?
That job market. Ooh. Henna tattoos is another fun one. I'm thinking like post-prom now, after prom in high school, there was like a henna artist. I've never gotten a henna tattoo in my life, but it's something I would do at like an activity, an event like
that. I totally do it. Yeah, I've never gotten one either. I know, like, you know, like seacoast towns, like that have like boardwalks. Those are always big in those places. And I always see them and I'm like, I want to do that. Cause I wanted another tattoo, but I don't know if I went going to like where it is. So I feel like if I did that, then it would like, you know, but I don't know. The henna tattoos are always like a little too tribal for my liking, but
yeah, I always look at them and I'm like, I really want to try it, but like, I don't want to pay for it myself. Yeah, exactly. So then I'm like, okay, if it was offered at a holiday party, I would definitely do it.
Absolutely.
I feel like a lot of people have the mindset too. So it's, yeah, you're gifting them an experience.
Yeah.
And then the last one is like just gifting a raffle sort of thing with like really fun prizes. We did that at our party last year and it was a huge hit. People got some pretty cool things. I don't know if it's happening again this year.
I got like a really nice Nespresso coffee machine, which
you're a winner.
Well, yeah. And it's only because I literally made me and my husband put all of our tickets in that one thing. So I was like, if we don't win this, that's pretty bad.
It's rigged.
It's rigged. No, yeah, I really wanted it. And it's great. I still use it. It's lovely.
Love it. But yeah, so those are our corporate event tips. And that comes to the conclusion of our holiday episode and all of our ideas that we hope inspire you as you're making your way through this busy month of December and into January. Make a drink, as Kate said, a cocktail that Kate has created. Have a gin fizz.
Have several gin fizzes, you know.
Go to a Christmas market. Yeah. Go to Oscar Wilde in New York City or any of the markets here.
Be present, right? Like even when we're run down and we feel like crap and we're coughing on air on a podcast, you got to be present because there's so many wonderful things happening around you and just like enjoy them. Just enjoy the season. That's what I'm going to shed a tear,
Kate.
Yeah. You know, you got to be present. Be present in the moment. We're like so, especially in hospitality, and we do it in marketing as well. We're just like wearing a lot of hats and running around and, you know, doing so many things that we don't stop and just like appreciate what's around us, especially this time of year. So that's my holiday wish for all of you.
I appreciate you, Kate.
I appreciate you too. Heart.
Sending you a heart in the air. And we appreciate all of our listeners. And we will see you next 2 weeks. Yeah. And you'll hear an end of the year.
Is it going to be, wait, are we posting an episode before the end of the year? We are, right?
Yes. Yeah. It'll go. This one will be on Friday. And then the next one will be for the end of the year. So.
Okay. Well, I guess we got one more left.
And then, yeah, we can't say see you next year yet.
Yeah, not yet. We'll say it next time. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats, your events industry podcast, brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader for event management software. Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com.